Amen. Thank you very much for the prayer. Please, if you have your Bible, won't you turn with me to Psalm 139? And as you are opening, let me just say, I believe God is with us this morning in a special way. I'm so excited because when we were praying this morning, one of the prayers we were making was, God, synchronize everything. And I was so moved when our brother stood here and talked about this drowning, because it stirred something in me that our God is a great God and he knows what he's doing. And so even as we look into this scripture in Psalm 139, I believe God has something for all of us, and I pray that we will get what God is saying to us this morning. Let me read from the ESV. He says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain." Verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall behold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with completed hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. You know, in a time like this, as Roseanne said, the year is coming to an end, and people are tired. And it's not just tired from work. A lot of it has got to do with work we do, but also tiredness from things around us. And as this word came, it just opened my eyes to see that many of us are drowning. Drowning with the massive messages we receive even on our phones, especially these days with WhatsApp and groups and all that. There are so many things happening. There's a lot of information. Some of them overwhelm you. I was chatting to someone and he said, these days, You may start a course for 3 years. At the end of the course, you realize everything you've learned over the years is no longer valid. New things have come. That's the world we are living in. I have a friend who is a medical doctor, and he tells me, Benson, I live by the conferences I go. So every year, no matter where the medical conference is taking place, wherever, I have to save money and go. Otherwise, my practice will not serve the people that I'm serving. And a lot of people, if you don't begin to see, check things, you realize that you don't know where you stand. And because of all these things, there is a lot of insecurity in us. Even some things that you know well, you come to a point where you ask yourself, do I know this? Even the things that you do and you know you are doing them well, because of things that are going around and because of what people even do say. There are a lot of people around us who threaten us by their presence and the things they say. I remember when I was doing my PhD, the one who was supervising my work told me, Benson, in this life, you have to survive. There are times I go to a conference and I look at what is happening. I don't know what to say. And I start saying things that I don't even know about. And people begin to clap because they don't understand. That's the world we are living in. That's the world we are living in. And so in the midst of all this, there's worries. There is lack of self-image. There are a lot of uncertainty about what is going to happen next and all that. And it's in the midst of all this, in the life of David, that David wrote this in his journal, the psalm that we are looking at, which found its way into the hymns of the Hebrew people. So this is a song we are looking at in Psalm 139. It's got four stanzas, and each stanza has got six verses. So the outline I will give are in four different ways. And it says, God knows me. In the first stanza, David is saying, God knows me, and that resolves all issues of identity. If I'm in this life and I'm facing challenges about my identity, this psalm, the first stanza, will resolve that for you. Secondly, I want us to look at from verse 7 to 12, which is the next six. He says, God is with me. And if God is with me, it resolves all issues of loneliness. We are in a world today where loneliness becomes a big problem. And the third, which is from verse 13 to 18, he says, God made me. If God made me, I have no issues with self-image. A number of us, because we look at ourselves and we want to be somebody else. But I want you to know this morning, God made you. You are not an accident. And that should resolve all issues of self-image. Our God is powerful. Our God is the maker. He has all power. Then thirdly, lastly, from verse 19 to 24, God protects me. And if God protects me, issues of worries, anxiety, fear, and all are dealt with. So I pray God that God will speak to all of us even through this passage. Now, I'm going to read this passage from 1 to 6 again, but this time I'm reading it from what they call the Easy English Translation. And the Easy English Translation says, and remember, this is a prayer, so you hear Lord, oh God, and all that, but this is what it says. Lord, you know me. You look at me and know all about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I get up. You understand what I'm thinking about, even when you are far away. You see when I go somewhere else. And you see when I stay at home. You remember everything that I do. For example, before I say a word, oh Lord, you know all about it. You are all around me in front of me and behind me. Yet you have put your hand upon me. What you know about me is wonderful. I cannot understand it. It is so high that I cannot even climb up to it. That's the verse 1 to 6. And if you look at this, God knows everything about you. I'm amazed that even before you say something, God knows what you're about to say. You know, sometimes you withdraw it because you know if this thing comes up, but God knows about it. Now, the good thing about all of this, as David is looking into this, is that though God knows everything about me, he's not there to accuse me. He's there to help me. When David is writing this, David is speaking from his own life, very practical. Here is a man of God after God's own heart. And here he knows that I don't have any identity crisis, no matter what is going on in my life. No matter whether I'm drowning or what is happening, God is on my side. And he knows there were times when I was alone, a young boy in the bush looking after the sheep. And I remember God was on my side. He would come, lions would come my way, bears would come my way, I would kill them. And I even remember one time when there was Goliath. I took my sling and killed this Goliath. But at the same time, as God knows the strength that is in me, God also knows my weaknesses. I remember one time, as his word says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go to battle, David sent Joab, his servant with him, and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. So David was supposed to go to war. And as he is writing this Psalm 139, he remembers, I didn't go. Rather, I sent my commandant to go. And on that evening, as I was walking by the stoop, I saw this young lady having a bath. And I yearned for that lady, slept with that lady. The lady became pregnant. And instead of sorting out, I wanted the husband to come so that the husband will sleep with this lady. And then everything is covered nicely. Nobody will see anything. But this young man didn't even stay at home. And I had this young man killed to cover myself. David is saying all these things. God knows me. He knows my weakness. He knows my strength. I think it's about you and me and I. God knows us. Sometimes, you know, we think, no one sees this. But God knows everything about us. And you know what? God says, I will not let you go because you are after my heart. I love you. He sends Nathan. And Nathan goes and reveals everything to David. And if you read the story, the way that it was revealed in the form of a story to David, David wanted this man who had done this terrible thing be killed. And he found it was himself. I hope you remember that story. Yet God says, I've loved you. I've forgiven you. You know what? God knows us. God is not a policeman who is after us to arrest us. And when I was a child, I thought the only duty of a policeman was to arrest people and shove them into prison and all that. That's what I thought. Because in my village, if somebody stole anything, the police would come and they would be holding this and this person is be going. So for me, I was so scared of the police until one day. In those days, I mean, if you're arrested, people will follow you and shambok you and all that. There was no law. It was chaotic when I was a child. So I was scared of the police. Until one day when I was going to school and I saw a different policeman. This man came, stopped all the cars and held my hand and I'm shivering. Are they taking me to the cells or where? And he took me and I realized, oh, So policemen are not only there to arrest people. They can help people. God is not there to arrest you, but to help you. He says, I know everything about you. This is wonderful. And so David is saying from his experience that God knows me. God knows me. And I believe that even you yourself, God knows you and God knows me. And I was trying to find out, what does God say himself? Not David, but God saying about knowing me. And when you read Isaiah 42, verse 5 says, that says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by my hand and keep you. God knows you. God says, I formed you. I created you. And I know you and I love you. And so when David is saying these things about God knowing me, he says, his hand is upon me. The Lord's hand is upon you. His hand of protection, wherever you are. And so when something goes wrong in your life, don't run away from him, because he knows you. He's the one who can help you. He's the one who can help you. When I was a child, I never understood why sometimes in the public eye, everybody knew this person did wrong and deserved to go to prison and all that. But somebody can stand and look at the case and says, no. This guy should not go to prison, and defend that person and bring out the law and said, according to the law, yes, he killed, but he killed in defense. So he doesn't have to go to prison. God is there to defend us. He is our defender in all of this. He knows you. But the question I will ask you this morning is, if God knows you, do you know God? Do you know that you may know people, but they don't know you? I remember the first time I came to South Africa and I went home in Ghana, and some people were asking, yes, Mandela, do you know Mandela? I said, yes. Because what happened was, I think it was 96 or 97, when Mandela came to Pietermaritzburg and was tracing the route where he was caught. He came to the station. I was then studying at a place called ESSA, just there. So I was there and I saw him. He was standing there. I saw him. So for me, I know him. Yes, we know so many people that way. In fact, there are some people who can write about people. I was listening to SAFM, I think on Friday, and there's this lady who has written a story or a biography about one lady, an ANC old lady. And this lady died in 19 something, and yet she had every information about this woman. And she spoke like she was there with this woman. We know people like that. God doesn't know us that way. God knows us as we are. He knows everything about us because, as we will see later, he created us. But you need to know him. You don't know him from a distance. Do you know that you can be at church every week and yet don't know God? Do you know that you can weep about Jesus dying on the cross for you and yet you may not know him? We need to think about that. He says, I know you. I know everything about you. But you too need to know me. And today I pray, God, that you will know Jesus. If you are here and you haven't given your life to Jesus, coming over and over and over, every week, coming to church. It's not about being religious. No. It's about responding to his love for you, for him dying on the cross for you. If you don't know, I pray, God, that at the end of this service, you make a commitment to God, because he knows you. He knows you. Maybe you are here, you know Jesus. Well, knowing Jesus is not at once of something. Paul says that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul in Philippians 3:10, that's what he says. He wants to know more. I want to know you more. We need to know more of this Jesus who died for us. He's got a lot for you. And once we know him, anything, no matter whether you know your father or your mother or you don't know them, no identity crisis will come your way because he loves you. And so, it's my prayer that we get to know him more. Secondly, he prays from verse 6, 7 to 12. And he says, where can I go from your spirit? Still reading from the Easy English. Where can I go from your spirit? How can I run away from you? If I went to heaven, you would be there. If I went to the depths of the earth, you will be there also. If I went to where the sun rises in the east, or to the other side when the sun sets across the sea in the west, you are there. Your hand will be there. Once again, your hand will be there. And what would it do? It will be my guide. Your right hand will give me help. If I say, I'm sure that darkness will hide me. You know, when we were children, you can hide in darkness. Nobody will see you. Or the light around me will change into night. Darkness and light are the same to you. Darkness is not dark to you. The night shines bright as day to you. God is with you. He not only knows you, but he is with you every step all the way. He's there. His hand is upon you to guide you. There are times you will be getting into trouble and he pushes you and say, why did you do, who did that? Yes, to save you. There are times that he will help you in times of need. And that's what makes even the what we're talking about, the visions that we see this morning about people drowning, the hand of God is there to deliver you. Whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, my brothers and sisters, God is there with you. His word tells us that, and David, as I said, has been in trouble all his life, running away from Saul and enemies coming this way. So he knows what he's talking about, how God had been with him through this. In Psalm 124, David says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, as a community, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people rose against us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snares, the snare of the fowlers. And you know what? The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That is what the Lord does for us when he is with us. You know your situation. You might have been in different situations. You might have been through whatever that life has to offer. But with God being there with you, he will take you through. There are certain things that come that you don't know, how am I going to do this? How is this going to pan out? But God comes through. He says, I am with you. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, he says, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. So if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is with you. But I want to ask this question. If God is with you, are you with God? Do you know that somebody can be with you and you are not with that person? You are gone. And you say, what were you saying? Meanwhile, the person is seriously talking to you. You are off. You switch off. There are many a times when we are in the presence of God, but we've switched off. Do you have fellowship with your God? Do you have time? How are we doing as Christians? Those of us who have come to know the Lord. Do we spend time with the Lord in prayer, in His Word, and allow Him? Do we have fellowship with Him? That's what David is talking about. As I have fellowship with my God, His hand is upon me, and He is able to help me. David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's not yet to fulfill a program, but I want to go and meet with my Lord. And He is happy. He is happy. So, God knows me and knows you. It's the attribute of God. And David was praying that attribute. When God knows you, He knows everything about you. The theologians call it God is omniscience. That means He knows everything. And when He is with you, He is wherever you are. His presence is always with you. And the theologians call it omnipresence. That's the attribute of God. A God who is always there with you. Let me go to the third one that David mentions. He says, God made me. And reading again, he says, but you made every part of me. You made me grow in my mother's womb. I praise you for the mysterious and wonderful way that you made me. I know very well that everything that you made is wonderful. Nothing hid in my body from you when I was growing in the secret place. This happened deep in the earth. Your eyes saw my body growing. Before I lived one day, you wrote in your book how long I will live in this life. You have so many ideas, God. They are so difficult for me to understand. If I could count them all, they would be more than the grains of the sand at the seashore. I would have to live as long as I can count them all. And so God made you in the secret place. And I'm wondering, at a time when David was saying these things, it's not today that maybe there could be a scanner for us to have an idea. The doctors can predict a boy or a girl. At that time, no machine could go and see where this baby is. And yet he knew that it is God who formed me. Even today, with all the sophisticated instruments we have, it's only God who feeds the baby there. It's only God who can take. I mean, I did a study on human development, and I was so amazed. Every second of pregnancy can go bad. Every second. But God, in His power, take care of this unformed baby until the baby is born. And today, we are all living creatures to show what God has done. He made you. He made me. He has power to do all these things. That is the God we have. Let us not be bombarded about these things. He is our God. He created us. He has power. He is all powerful. But the question I want to ask this morning is, do we draw from His power? He has promised that He will give us His power. When you read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the ends of the earth. Do we tap this from God? And I believe that God, who created us, He knows everything about us, and He is able to help us. That will resolve anything about me wanting to be like somebody else. That is one problem we have today. Because somebody came on stage and did something, everybody wants to be like that one. We want to change our image. God says, you are so special. I made you so special. Because I knew that shepherd boy who was only considered as a boy in the bush, but I knew him as the king. Even when the apartheid government knew Mandela as a prisoner, God knew him as a president. And in His time, He makes all things beautiful. As a child of God, you shouldn't give up. God created you. He's got something wonderful for you. He's going to do it for you at this time. But finally, now David comes to a point where he looks at all that is around him and he almost say, Lord, this one, do something. He comes in verse 19. He says, God, I hope that you will kill the wicked people and go away from there, you go away from me, you men of blood, murderers. God, they are your enemies. They say bad things about you that are not true. And I hate them. I hate them who hate you, Lord. Do I really hate them and want to attack those who want to attack you? Yes, I do hate them. I really hate them. I think of them as my enemies. Then as he's saying all these things, he comes to a point of realizing, actually, what can I do in my strength? If there's anything, anyone who hates me, it's only God who can protect me. It's only God. So God, you are my protector. And so he says, because of this, I come before you. Please, God, know me. Know my heart. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there is any wicked way in me. My brothers and sisters, there are times, if you're not careful, as children of God, we want to fight walls that do not belong to us. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. There are times people will do things to you that you feel, no, I have to do something. But leave it to God. I mean, as I'm even speaking to you, I remember something. Last week, I got 3 WhatsApps. SMSs. These days, I don't use it, so I didn't know I had them. In 2008, when we were working in Gateway, there was a family that Rob and I were working with in through community care projects. They needed help, and we raised money. We raised money to help this family. I got a WhatsApp, this SMS from this person saying, Baba, that money you gave me, how much was it? Now I can smell rats. You made me sign for this money. And a lot of things. I look at it, there was another message. After about 5 minutes later, he wrote, Baba, you are not answering me. I'm going to the police. I'm going to report to the police. I can smell rat here. Then a third one comes. You call yourself a pastor, but you don't want to answer me. I was confused. I'm trying to figure out who is this guy. I was thinking of somebody else and all that. Then a phone rings. Says, Baba, did you get my SMS? I said, which SMS? Yeah, you. You remember the money you gave me? How much was it? I said, I don't remember. He said, no, it was 14,000. Why did you give me that money? And you made me sign for it. I'm going to the police. And he started on and on. So I'm sitting there saying, guy, just bring me the money. Just bring the money. You know, and I just began to remember, and I check on the records. It was someone that needed help. And Rob wrote to his church, and somebody sent money. 14,000 in 2008 was not a joke. And yet this person today is smelling rat. The rat died 8 years ago. So that is the world we are living in. If you're not careful, a lot of things are going through my mind. But the point is, oh Lord, search me. Search me and know my heart. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to do anything stupid. It's painful, but the Lord knows us. And so my brothers and sisters, this morning, there are so many things around us that can drown us. That can drown us. But we need to know one thing. God knows you. And he is with you. So he understands. He knows what you are going through. Why? He made you. Anything about you. How angry you become. How whatever. He knows everything about you. But let's leave it in his hand. And say, Lord, I need your help. Search me, O God, and know my heart. If there be any wicked way in me, Lord, take it out of me. Then I can receive your blessing. Shall we stand together?